Good morning. When we studied the Beatitudes of the Kingdom, we found Jesus describing the blessedness of those who would be citizens of that kingdom, the character of those who would be citizens of that kingdom. The character of those who would enter the kingdom of heaven, he said, include those who are poor in spirit, they're humble, they're cognizant of their spiritual poverty, they mourn, especially in regards to their sinfulness. They hunger and thirst for righteousness, he said, in response to their sinful condition. And yet many people do not appreciate the extent of their spiritual poverty and need for righteousness. So how evil their heart can be is what they fully don't understand. Again, we go back to the great preacher in Ecclesiastes 9 in verse 3. He said, "This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead." And the Bible also tells us how wicked their hearts can become. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, we read, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. How can I know?" Jesus knew the hearts of men. Mark 2 and verse 8. Revelation 2 and verse 23. And in these passages, he vividly described the defilements of the heart. In Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Here Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." So for us to fully appreciate what Jesus said, we first need to review the context. The context here is that the Pharisees challenged Jesus, as they often did. They challenged his disciples about eating with defiled hands in verses 1 through 2 of Mark chapter 7. Jesus here talked about the defiling of hands and by following the tradition of the elders to wash their hands, verses 3 through 5. So the response of Jesus we see first of all in verses 6 through 13 to the Pharisees is they let traditions impose or replace God's word, making their worship hypocritical and vain or useless. Case in point, he uses the word korban as an excuse not to care for parents, rendering the word of God of no effect through their tradition. Second, notice the multitude in verses 14 through 17. "Nothing that enters from outside defiles a man." True defilement comes from within a man. It comes from the heart. Third, Jesus spoke to his disciples in verses 17 through 23, who asked him to explain his parable. Jesus uses the intake of food to illustrate his point. He talked about which passes through the stomach and is eliminated, and so purifying all the foods, and he references 1 Timothy 4 verses 3 through 5. He then describes that which causes true defilement is that which comes out of a man. Evil which proceeds from the heart of man. Now the Pharisees were guilty of emphasizing traditions of men in the form of external rituals to the point that they neglected the Word of God. So Jesus addressed the real problem, the defilements of the heart. Man has a heart problem. His heart is the source of so much evil, according to Mark 7, verses 21 and 22. And it is this evil that defiles man, Mark 7, verse 23. Evil thoughts lead to true defilement. The general term translated evil thoughts precedes the verb in the Greek text and is viewed as the root of various evils which follow, according to the Bible Knowledge Commentary. evil thoughts generated in a heart unite with one's will to produce evil words and actions, again according to the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Jesus mentioned adulteries. Our evil heart produces this within us. It elicits sexual relations by a married person. Fornications, Jesus would list, elicit sexual activities of various kinds, including premarital sex and homosexuality. He said murders was listed there, the intentional taking of a human life. Theft, stealing, which would include shoplifting or pilfering or embezzling. Covetousness, he said. Greediness, which makes one an idolater. Paul would speak of this in Ephesians 5 and verse 5 and Colossians 3 and verse 5. Jesus went on to describe wickedness as being part of this true defilement. Evil acts done with malice. Deceit, acting with guile and intent to defraud. Lewdness, unrestrained and unconcealed immoral behavior. He says, an evil eye. This comes from a Hebrew saying that deals with stinginess, Proverbs 28 and verse 22. Then he mentions the word blasphemy. This is slander. It is a verbal abuse against God or man. Pride is one of the next to the last things that Jesus mentions here. And that's arrogance, a boastful opinion of oneself, often with disdain towards someone else. And then he says foolishness, the last thing in the list of evil thoughts here that lead to true defilement that come from man's heart. And he says that foolishness is a lack of common sense with moral and spiritual insensitivity. And implied in this is that human traditions with their rituals do not seriously address the real problem that man faces. Defilement caused by sinful hearts is what we're dealing with here. And accordingly, now that we've looked at the background of this, the context, and the meaning of what we're talking about, let's make application to us today. First of all, we have to take the problem seriously. Mankind has always had a heart problem. In Genesis chapter 6, where we're studying at Eastside on Wednesday nights, we see that God here in this chapter decides to destroy the world with a great flood because the thought of man's heart continually goes toward wickedness. We see the same comment or statement similar to that made in Genesis 8 and verse 21. And as the New Testament tells us, we are all sinners. James 1, verses 14 and 15. Romans 3 and verse 23. And as much, we are enslaved to the power of sin. Paul would speak of this in Romans 7, that you choose to be a slave to whoever you choose to serve, either Satan to sin or Christ to righteousness. Now, unless the problem of sin is properly addressed, according to Romans 6 and verse 23, we will die spiritually. And if it's not addressed properly, not only will we die spiritually, but we will die eternally, Revelation 21 and verse 8, which is the second death. Now, I want to suggest to you that the remedy in all of this, when we make application, is found in the Word of God. If we look to the Word of God, we find that it contains the power to save our souls. James 1 and verse 21 says, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls." The Word of God points us to Jesus, who offers us true freedom from sin. In John 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He says in verse 36, "Therefore, if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So we see here that the solution to all of man's wickedness that flows from his heart is found inside the Word of God. And Jesus offers this freedom from the guilt of sin through his blood. Matthew 26 and verse 28, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. He offers it from the power of sin through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 9, Ephesians 3 and verse 16. So Jesus offers the solution to sin. Initially, that offer is in baptism. It's there that we receive the remission of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, Acts 22 and verse 16. And it's there where we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2 and verse 38 again, Titus 3 verses 5 through 7. But this solution is also found in continual prayer. When we confess our sins, there is forgiveness through His blood, 1 John 1 and verse 9. And when we ask for help, there is strength from the indwelling Spirit of God, Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 21. So, as we close out this lesson, do we appreciate the problem that sin is in our lives? How it proceeds from a spiritually sick heart, and how easily we become enslaved to sin. How devastating it is in our relationships, not only with God, but with mankind. And then a second question, do we appreciate the solution that Jesus offers for sin? He offered by shedding His blood for the atonement of our sins, to redeem us, to buy us back. The sending of His Spirit to empower our fight against sin. You see, friends, the defilements of the heart is a passage of worthy, careful meditation, reminding us of the seriousness of heart defilements, of heart problems, spiritually heart problems, reminding us of the solution to be found in Jesus, who knows our hearts. Now the question is, are we willing to follow the prescription of the great physician? Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. 1 John 1 and verse 9 tells us that to walk outside of the confines of God's word is to commit transgression. It's to commit sin. So if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to help purify our hearts. I want to thank you for being with me today. If you find this lesson offensive or if you'd like to study further, I encourage you to look me up on Facebook at Jeff Curtis. Feel free to join us at the Eastside Congregation. We'll meet this morning at 10 a.m. for worship service. Again, this evening at 6 p.m. And then we'll meet every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for a midweek Bible study. You can find out more information about us at churchateastside.com. That's our website. You can go there and possibly leave a message if you'd prefer to do so that way. But I would encourage you to study your Bibles with me each week and continue to look to try to find the solution for your problems in the Word of God. Again, thank you for being with me today.